This webcast will be for January the 8th and the 9th of 2013 in the Lucy Coleman Studio, Ram Radio Live.
I believe in a power inside of my heart. God is the source from whom we're never apart. No challenge too great and no cause is too small. This infinite love is inside of us all.
Oh, I like that because, you know, Christ can come into all of us and fill us with his love. Thank you. A little cut pattern there from an Eric Bonet album. And I like that. Thank you, Eric. Psalm 44 is where I want to proceed from today as we talk about... Look at how far we've fallen. How quickly we forget that without God we would be nowhere in reality. And not only would we be nowhere in reality, but without God we could not be sustained. Now you may say, Pastor John, I'm a strong dude. I can do this thing myself. I don't need God. I can do this thing. All right, go ahead on. You so bad with your bad self. I know. I understand. This generation, see, we've listened to it. You know, they told us in the schools and in the colleges and everywhere else that all you got to do is to think boldly about something, think logically about something, and it's going to come to pass that you can create reality just by thinking about it. In the 44th Psalm, the psalmist wrote, and he said, O God, we have heard with our ears, our fathers have told us the work that you did in their days, in the days of old. Let me stop right there in verse 1. Has anybody ever told you what God has done for you in their life? I ain't talking about somebody that's going to stand up in a church and give a testimony. I'm talking about, do you know anybody that can really tell you, show you, identify, communicate with you where God has done anything in their lives of any benefit at all? Well, I'm here to tell you that this 68-year-old black man in Los Angeles, in the state of California, in the United States of America, right now, on this planet Earth, can say that God is my provider. I could not have gotten a job. I could not have met the woman that bore my children. No, and I'm screwed up. I'm screwed. I'm just telling you like it is. I told you in the year 2013, I'm not going to play games with you. I'm going to be as real as the day is long. I'm not right sometimes in what I think and what I say. And what I mean, and I know it when I say it, and I need God to snatch me right up in the midst of that mess that I'm in. I know young people, and all they want to do is just get high and disappear. That's all they want to do. That's all they want to do. I don't understand it to save my life. I cannot understand why somebody would want to get so high and disappear. Man, just walking down the street, looking at the clouds, man, and the trees, and the way the birds fly and sing, and the dogs skip through the grass. Come on, man. And I got babies in front of me that don't even want to keep on going. And they sweet little selves, man. I can't help it. Do you all feel what I'm feeling? Do you know what God has done in this Psalm 44? Oh God, we have heard with our ears. Our fathers have told us the work that you did in their days in the land of old. Wait a minute, keep on moving, keep on reading. Look at verse 2. You, with your own hand, drove out the nations. In other words, the psalmist was saying is that you made a way for us. You put our enemies out of our paths. That's what he said. Then you planted them. You afflicted the peoples. Then you spread them abroad. For by their own sword they did not possess the land, and their own arm did not save them. But then he says, but your right hand and your arm and the light of your presence, for you favored them, God saves his people. Are you God's people? Are you united with Jehovah God, the God that created the universe, the world? You know that everything that he's given you was just a benefit token of his blessing to you. Do you know that? If you know this God and you know what this God is doing, then you are blessed of God. You are not to give up the fight. You are not to change your modus operandi and how you fight. You are to procure this idea in your life, in those around you. You are to exude this. Exude is the right word. I'm not that educated, but I think that exude means to put forth this aura or to push out of you that God is. Now, I'm going to say not the church, not the Catholic Church, not the Protestant Church, let me tell you. All right, let me break off this praise thing about God and let me tell you. Hey, I was on my Facebook page, and for those of you that don't know, I reinstated my Facebook page. I crashed the other one and started all over. I'm not going to put everything up there about my family or anything. I'm not going to talk smack. I'm only going to place on my Facebook stuff that is pertinent for people to understand that they have to know these things. But other than like you listening to about what's going on in my family, that's really none of your business. It's none of mine. What's going on in yours, unless you want to share it with me. And let me say this to a brother that I spoke with a couple of days ago. You know I'm praying for you. And I'm praying that God will give you the strength to do what a man has to do and the wisdom and how to do it. And it's done different in every home, brother. Different in every home. Your world is not coming to an end. Satan does not have dominion over your family or over your life. But it's all contingent. Listen, my brother, listen to me. It's all contingent on how you respond at this time. When I do things poorly, I am thankful to God that I don't have anyone hanging over me to threaten me with the burning pangs of hell and a stick or a strap on my back. Like I'm an ignorant slave. Now, you know, what do you do when your kids go bad? What do you do when your children rub you the wrong way? We remember what happened in the life of the money pimp, Creflo Dollar, don't we? We remember him. He beat his 15-year-old daughter almost into oblivion. Justified it. Pimp justified it. You know, I was thinking as I was listening to the old webcast that I did about that. No, I could not. Whatever my daughter did or said to me, I could never do it like that. Whatever my son Terrence, he is asleep in his room right now in my home. No, he's not my blood son. He's just a kid that I saw that needed somebody to love him. That's way out there, boy. Don't mess with him here, man. He'll knock the slop out of you. I don't want to get into Terrence today because last time I got into him, I started crying. I couldn't believe it. I broke down. Because, see, there's some love in everybody, people. There's some love in everybody. Some sweet love, sweet love, sweet love. That's what Jesus called us to find. That's what Jesus called us to do. That's what Jesus called us, man. Sweet love. You know, when we can look beyond and away from everything and say, ooh, man, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Some of you brothers out there listening to me, I'm going to tell you. I tell you like I told my brother, Ron, from up north. That's all I say. I told Ron from up north that I love him. You brothers don't know how much I love you. I ain't trying to turn this into a love bash or nothing like that. But I love you brothers that love the God I love. I love you. Man, it's like we were born from the same mother, man. Born from the same father. You breed of my breed. You brothers to me. I love you. I was looking at Mike's page, and Mike says, I love these brothers. He saw a picture of Mark and I up on my Facebook, and he said, I love these cats. Yeah, brothers, we come from the same, man. When I talk with these guys all over the country, when I talk with them, guess what? Same thing. Xerox called me today about a brother that we love so much. I'm not going to say nothing to the brother because I've already trained him and taught him. You know, when you train and teach a brother and the brother leave the teachings of the teacher, the brother's on his own until he falls on his face. I'm not going to call him unsaved or nothing like that. I'm just going to say you're going astray. And the preacher called me and said, how could he do that? I said, man, shut up. People are going to do that because they get disconnected from the rowdy truth. Listen to me. Don't nobody want to hear about no rowdy truth. Rowdy. Rowdy is a word. Rowdy. You know, something that's rowdy. It's just obnoxious. Many a decent preacher has told me that they find me to be obnoxious because I say things that other preachers would not say. Now, what time is it? It is 10:20 at night. Because I've been putting this webcast for today, that's why I'm making it one for today and tomorrow, on hold, because I wanted to say it right. I had created one, but I erased it. Because I want to talk with you, and I want to be truthful with you. When I look at the church, I saw someone send me, I think it was on that Facebook again. That's why I wanted to get off of Facebook and stay off of it, because sometimes I kind of tap into some of these videos that the people have on these things, you know. And I tapped in this video and I saw this dude call himself a bishop lying on two other men, had the men stretch out on the floor of the church, threw a white sheet over them, and then he proceeded to lay on each of them. They were face down. He was on their back, laying on them, pantomiming that he's crying. Now, when I saw that, that's why I thought about the, look at what we've come to. And I wanted to rant and rave about that. Now, I had to calm down first before I spoke. And that's why the webcast is so late coming up. Oh, and by the way, I want to thank my friends that always remembers me in the mailbox. You know who you are. Thank you so much. I did pick up that today. Thank you. I love you. Thank you. Somebody's listening to me out there, man. And you know what? I had to pay my box fees and everything today, and everything came just right in time. Thank you so much, because I have to pay for that P.O. box. Things are kind of rough. I'm not going to work. I'm not asking for money, so don't be sending me money. But I'm not going back to work until February the 4th, I believe. So I have time to get my schoolwork done and all, but it's going to be a long stretch, and I appreciate you. That's all I wanted to say. I don't want to seem like one of those pastors, because I'm a strange kind of a pastor for you guys. I'm an internet pastor. You know, you can listen to me wherever you are, in your car, at home. You can download the MP3s, and you can pick up on it later. You ain't got to take it right now. You can, you know. I love it. I love it. You know, PJ, Pastor John loves it. I mean, I am loving being real. Being real. Oh, I'd love to tell you about my day today. You guys want to hear about it? You won't believe it. Wait a minute. I'm dressed in the outfit right now. I'm dressed in an all-black Nike sports suit. And it's about, what, 10:24 at night. The house is quiet. You don't hear any boom, 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 anybody talking and screaming. That's a rarity on a Tuesday night. And my day was just marvelous. I won't tell you about it. I'll just say that it was marvelous. Didn't spend a lot of money. I found a nice little Cajun place up at the Westfield Mall in Culver City. Nicest Cajun food place you want to find in Los Angeles. And so if you're in the Culver City area at the Westfield Mall or the old Fox Hills Mall, you need to go to that Cajun place up in the food mark. I don't know what it's called, Creole something, but go there. And I love their greens and their corn muffins are just delicious. Man, reminds me of the way Lucy used to cook it. See, now I'm going back in history, right? Now let's go back to our text, because this did start off to be a Bible study, but you know, PJ's not like other pastors. I'm not going to make my Bible study like everybody's Bible study. I'm going to start rambling. I want you to laugh, feel good, and get you a cup of tea or, you know, whatever you like as you enjoy this and settle in. Okay? See, because PJ's not going to tell you how to relax. PJ's not going to do that. Let God be your conscience and let the Holy Spirit work in you. You know, I'm tired of these preachers trying to tell these people how to live, because a preacher got a vice and he going to make his vice your vice. Next thing you know, you're going to be calling the vice squad. Stop it, Judy. Stop it. You are out of your mind. Oh, my goodness. Ooh, calling the vice squad. If you cannot, if you cannot enjoy the thought or the moment as I am right now, then you, all right, I'm in the mall. I'll share one incident, then I'll come back to our text, okay? Because that's what we want to do. You know, I want to talk with you. I was in the mall, and I had to pick up some vitamins. Because I, you know, the fish oil capsules, and I had to pick up some vitamins for men because the vitamins that I had were not really working. I said, wait a minute, I'll feel good in the morning, but lousy in the evening. So, oh, wait a minute, I got somebody calling me here, so I'm going to have to pause this. Oh, I know who this is. Hello? All right. I'm back. The phone call. I got somebody coming over to the house. He says, I got to talk with you. I said, all right, come on by. See, Pastor John is still doing it. And people calling me, you know, I thought that when I retired from being a congregational pastor, you know, pastor in the church, oh God, what am I going to do? I want to share the word of God. I want to help people. I want to help men. I want to help brothers. That was a man that just called me. And he says, I'm on the way over now. I'll be there in 15 minutes. See, that's what PJ's life is. That's what my life is all about. I want to see that develop in a lot of you guys out there. People need help, man. People need help. People don't need to be made religious. People don't need to be put into no religious trappings. Come on, man. Let's stop playing this game. If everybody stopped going to church. Now, wait a minute. Listen to what I'm saying. Don't be tripping. If you need to go to church, you keep on going. I ain't telling you to stop doing that. You know I'm not teaching that false doctrine. But I'm saying that if you stop using going to church as an excuse to pleasing God and do what he told you to do, the scene would look quite different on the horizon, my brothers. I received a phone call tonight from a brother. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to give names, address, telephone numbers, or nothing. But this phone call tonight, when the brother was telling me, oh my God, what God is doing through my webcast just in this year alone, I'm telling you, you guys don't know. It made me want to go through the phone wires and grab him through his phone and hug him and lay down on the floor and laugh in joy with this Hispanic man. Yeah. 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 And he tells me how much God means to him. And he said he could do it. He could, I can do this that you're talking about. Wait a minute. See, you don't understand. Oh, God help me. That's what he told me to do. He said, you better tell them how to do it. Because they don't know how. You know how. Yeah, but it looks strange, man. Looks like I'm gay. I don't want to be that. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. You got to love. You got to love, love. And I tell you guys this, if you don't love your babies, ooh, sweet Jesus, help me. My offspring, they carry my history, everything. My babies, I don't care what they, come on. Come on. Now, we talking about the, with God, we talking about the elementary, the rudimentary level of understanding. Oh, and ladies, I'm going to tell you something. You ladies need to get with it. I'm just not trying to get the men into this cycle. I want to invite the ladies to get into it too. Time is running out. Y'all don't believe me. This don't seem right, what's going on in this country, what's going on in this land, and all this. Kind of weird. You got budgets all over the world in every country collapsing, everybody going to pieces, man. Come on. Something is going on. God sent Jesus Christ into the world, and 25, 26, 27, 2800 years ago, the psalmist wrote and says, oh God, we've heard with our ears. Our fathers have told us the work that you did in their days, in the days of old. The implication is that the psalmist is getting ready to tell them that he can do the same thing in your life, in your day of now. That is the implication of the text. Verse 2. You with your own hand drove out the nations. Then you planted them. In other words, you removed them from one place and you set them up in another one. He's talking about what he did with the Jews when he took them out of slavery in Egypt and set them up in Israel. And then he says, you afflicted the peoples. Then you spread them abroad. He's talking about how he spread the Jews in every nation in the land, and everybody knows that. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. You still reading with me? For by their own sword they did not possess the land, meaning that when the Jews went into the promised land, they didn't have to do anything. They didn't have to fight. God fought all their battles. He won the contest for them because he was their God, the same God that is our God. You understand? Look what he says. Look what he says. Look what he says. And then he says, you afflicted the peoples, then you spread them abroad. If you just look at the history of the peoples, you can see what the psalmist is saying. And then it says, for by their own sword, they did not possess the land. In other words, they didn't get Israel through them winning in a victory battle. And He says their own arm did not save them, but your right hand and your arm and the light of your presence, for you favored them. Oh my God, that's what I want God to do with us. When I drive through the city of Los Angeles here where I live, I want God to favor us. A friend of mine, Ramey, told me from back east that because of California and the homosexuals in San Francisco, that God ought to break off California and dump it in the ocean and drown everybody here. I disagree with my friend Ramey. I love Ramey. Ramey is one of the best godly brothers. He just don't like gays. He just don't like them. I love them. I love them. I don't understand a kind of God. I know that God hates sin. Don't get me wrong. Don't think that Pastor John is here blubbering over the microphone, ignoring the fact that God hates disobedient unrighteousness, rebellion. But to tell me that God hates a man because he cares gently and sweetly for another man, I ain't feeling you that God hates that man for that. I'm sorry. You can go to hell. I'm asking you this question. Have you ever loved anybody?
Because, hey, obviously we have a problem here. You know, we have a problem here now because, see, we have to defend. This is good. I'm enjoying this. Now we have to define. Wait a minute. Y'all listening? Y'all listening to PJ? Because now we have to define. I have a record that says it all. And I'm going to look for the record and put it on because I think it works in this webcast right now. Give me a second.
I just thought that you needed to hear this. Okay. Listen. What Kind of Love Is This? By Danny Bell Hall. And then that'll let you know what I'm feeling right now. All right. Sorry I got it on the speaker, but listen up.
What kind of love is this?
What kind of love is this that he's bestowed on me? I'm a child of God. And I think like a mystery. I don't know how it is and how it should be. One thing she knows, his face I'll see, I will be like him. Yeah. See, I even have music that can talk about this love that I've been spewing out for the past few months. I've been thinking about it. I've been dreaming about it. I've been looking at it. I'm saying, God, if you're really alive, it's got to be a love that penetrates, man. And somebody got to start doing it. Somebody got to start doing it. We got to break out of being cold. Come on. What made my Savior die, died on that cruel cross? That's what she's saying. He bared my shame and suffered the loss. He suffered the loss, yes. Listen. Precious mystery. You returned for me. You know, that's one thing that I like about African American singing about God, because we just gonna holler it out. Hey, we gonna holler it out. Now, our country, our nation, our friends, our neighbors are in poor condition. Because what they need is they need this love that Danny Bell is singing about. Oh, I like this record because in the background, that's Joe Sample playing the piano. Just listen to him hit them keys, all right? Let me turn it up a little bit. Listen to this, listen to that. That's Joe Sample. Yeah. See, if you know anything about true gospel music, black folk also always, when they sing about Jesus in this country, we think about the pain that we've come through as a people. It's hard, man. People hungry. How are we going to make money for our babies? How are we going to get that dream house? You know, this is America. Everybody got that dream. Everybody trying to accomplish that, trying to live the right way. Then the wicked creeps in on us. Devil comes in on us. Just try to beat us down. Beat us down. Ah, well, let me let you hear how the song ends, because I love the way it ends. I can tell you. Listen to this. I like the way that ends. I've always liked the way that ends. It's from an album that I have in my library called Danny Bell. It was her premier album, Danny Bell Hall. I think the cousin or the sister of Andre Crouch, the black preacher. And Joe Sample, and just the best musicians with that album. I have it on plastic, on vinyl, if you will. And I got music here. Like whenever I talk about things about God and everything, I always got the music to back it up. Oh, wow, yeah. Evie Turnquist sung about that. Oh, man, he sung about that. She sung about that. All these visions of God and his will is just dancing like sugar plums around in my head, man. I met a man in the mall. He was 20 years old, and he didn't understand why I didn't try to make a pass at the lady. It wasn't because, you know, I was somewhat attracted to her, but I knew, I was telling you earlier, that I knew that the lady had a man. She was too fashionable. She was stylish. She knew how to conduct herself. She knew how to speak with the man without flaunting herself like that. She was an intelligent, articulate. It was good talking with a black woman tonight at the mall. It really was. I enjoyed that. You know, whatever melodies I was feeling in my body, they all disappeared when I was speaking transparently with her, and we could have a conversation, and I wasn't hitting on her, and she knew it, but I affirmed her, and she knew it. And when I did it to the 20-year-old Nigerian American man, he had never seen it like that. And I just said at that moment, thank you, God, thank you, that I could show the right way that a black man should treat a woman. Please, Lord, thank you. I need you to say thank you, John. Because sometimes I don't think I'm the best person to women at all, and I really like women. I do. I'm just not attracted to them like a lot of men are in this day and age that I live in. I'm not. Now, you can say that there's something wrong with me. Okay, maybe there's something wrong with me, but I'm only attracted to the person that wants to be with me and that loves me. And if they don't love me like that, I cannot be attracted to them. Would I be with them? I hear some of you ask me, well, would you be with them at a weak moment? Possibly. Yes. I'm not going to lie to you. what a woman has over a man is strong. And I try to teach men to be strong, to understand that that is important in a relationship when you need a person to walk alongside of you and to help you and to guide you and to strengthen you for the rest of your life. But if that's not going to be there for the hard times, for the moment that you need them to be there, leave that alone. That's what I was saying when I was preaching in that church. Yeah, it sounded a little evangelical to me, sounded like thou shalt not fornicate. No, there's a reason why God says thou shalt not or thou shalt do anything. Find out what that reason is. Find out what that reason is. Let me share something with you. Every day of your life can be a beautiful day. Maybe I need to do the webcast late at night because the blinds are open. It's dark outside. There's no one walking down the street. I love doing webcasts late at night like this. Really, God can speak to my heart and I can speak back to Him. I have tremendous hope for everyone. You know what? I tell you, to my brothers that listen to me and that call me and tell me about what I mean to you, I will say this on a webcast. I will take the time to do it. I'm not ashamed to do it. I got to do it because I love you and I want to energize you. What you brothers do for me is you keep me alive. You literally keep me alive when you tell me those things. Because sometimes I'm saying some things and it sounds so strange to me and I'm wondering whether God would want me to say them. And why He has me saying them. But I know that they're right. Because I've never donned this studio, come to this microphone to say anything, any ulterior motive other than to, okay, I'll try to put it in words. I want to open up a brother's heart, sweet little heart. And I want him to experience the love of my Savior Jesus so deeply in him that he will love me and not be ashamed and afraid to say, I love you, John. I'm sorry for hurting you. Oh, John, please, what can I do, man? I'm sorry. Because that's the way I felt by every brother in the church that I've been with ever since I've been a pastor in the church and before that. I mean everything that I say. And until you come to that in your life, until you come to that point, then you will not fully understand. Like these people in the psalm that I'm quoting from. Oh, we heard about what God did for your fathers. We heard about what he did for them. But they have no hope today that he can do that for him. For them, for their class, for their posse, for their tribe. I'm not going to get on the church tonight. I don't want to get on them. That's a failure. We don't want to talk about that. That's a failure. Until they come to what some of us have come to. And get into the habit of starting this all over again. And that may be my theme for the whole year of 2013. Come on, we got to start all over again. We can't do it the way we did it. It makes for nothing. It makes nothing happen. It brings nothing. It produces nothing. We cannot do that until we come to the point of learning how to love ourselves. What we have to do, now what I mean by that is we have to go to God and say, God, show me what love is. Show me how to love. Show me to want to put my arms around another human being and to feel their heartbeat up against my chest. Let me feel the rush that I feel when he cries, because it's a guy like me, and he whimpers and he cries. And I want to hug him tight and say, go, man, go. Hell, I'm here, go. Because he can't cry around nobody else. You know, he can't cry. He can't cry. He'll be viewed as weak. And I feel this about men because I know men. I see it. That's why we die of strokes and heart attacks and all this other bull crap that they tell us about. I don't know where that crap is right, man. Please. I don't eat beef and pork because it doesn't make my body feel good. I don't stop eating beef and pork because some dude told me to. It makes all the sense in the world. It doesn't work right for my body. I should stop all red meats, stop other things if I'm going to live a long life to glorify God. And that's the only reason that I want to live, is to glorify Him. Other than glorifying Him, I need to die. That's all I live for. I'm a pastor. I love it. I love my calling. I have a Bible study class coming tomorrow night. I am excited for the Bible study. Students coming tonight. I'm excited. You need to know that. I wonder if there's any other pastor on the internet anywhere telling anybody that he's excited about teaching people about God. Oh, and by the way, they aren't taking a collection for me. No, I don't do that. I may take a collection for them. And you know, there's so many good brothers out there. They really want to do the right thing, but they've been twisted by these pimps. Nobody listens to people like me. That's a good one. Nobody. I was talking with the lady at the mall, and you know, the lady that had a man. She's cute. She's very attractive. And what I loved the most about her was her jovialness, her ability to have a conversation. As a matter of fact, when I went to the Cajun place to pick up my dinner, she came by to pick up a little plate for her son, 18, 19, I think he was. That really blessed me. There's a mother caring about her 18, 19-year-old son. Buy him some food. That was a nice thing. Nice lady. I knew she was a nice lady when I first met her. You can tell a nice lady as opposed to meeting an unnice lady. You can tell a nice lady that wasn't churchiosity. And I told her that I had retired as a pastor. I told her that.